And I pray that I'd speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'd like to add my welcome to that of Charlie's as we join together and look back and celebrate and give thanks for the lives of those that we've loved. And today mark another moment in that process of looking back, but also looking forward to the future with the hope that we have. Originally, it was going to be my wife, Jenny, that was going to be speaking today, but sadly, her brother died last week, and therefore, given the immediacy of the passing, we did a swap, which I'm sure you'll understand. But death sometimes does things like that, because it seems sometimes just to throw our plans and ideas up into the air, and kind of leaves us sometimes wondering what's happening and what to do. It reminds us, death, in many ways, that we are, in that sense, transient, and of our fragility, the fragility of life, which in itself can be quite salutary and somewhat unsettling as we move forward in our own grief. And whatever the timing of death, whether it's sudden, as it was for my brother-in-law, or an unexpected, or whether it's expected, it's a shock when it happens. And it takes us time to come to terms with that as we work through that process of grief. And we each spend different amounts of time working through the parts of the grieving process of doubt and of questions and an uncertainty about what's going on, of sadness at the passing of someone who we loved. Times that we just question what's going on and why. The reading we had from John today speaks of Jesus by the grave of his friend Lazarus, who had died. He'd been in the grave 4 days, and for the Jews, 3 days, it was possible that you might not, in that sense, be dead, and you might actually come, you might be just ill. But if you were dead for 4 days, you were dead. And so Lazarus is dead. There is no question about it. And we know, a little later in the passage, Jesus was moved to tears. And whatever else is going on in this passage, Jesus is moved with deep, deep sadness for the death of his friend. But we also heard Martha goes out to meet him. And she says to him, you know, if you'd arrived a bit earlier, things might have been different. You can almost imagine, you know, saying, oi, if you'd arrived earlier, things might have been different. And we know that that was a significant thought for both Martha and for Mary. Because a few verses later, Mary repeats exactly the same phrase. If only you'd got here sooner, things might have been different. And for all of us, there are always those questions of when somebody dies, of if only. The questions. Maybe it's the, you know, if only we'd been able to do this, or if only, or we'd wanted to. Maybe it's the questions of things that we didn't get round to saying and we want to say, or we wanted to say. Things that we'd said perhaps we wish we didn't. Things that we did that we wanted to do or didn't get round to doing. But just like Mary and Martha, we can express those things to God just as we feel them. It's difficult to read into the text of that gospel reading exactly what Mary and Martha were thinking, what they were feeling. But there is that sense of kind of frustration and anger of what's happened. Why has what's happened just happened? We don't understand. And just as we feel, if we feel those questions or we have things that we want to say to our loved ones, then we can express those things to God. And being God, he can speak to those that we love. You know, we can address those questions that we have, those things that perhaps we wanted to say to God, because there are always questions and if onlys. Our grieving is also about remembering with happiness the times that we spent with those that we love, the moments that are special to us, those private moments that we shared just with them. And we remember them with happiness and with gladness and a real sense of joy. Those intimate moments that we spent with them, which will never pass from our memory and that we will hold with us all of the time. Because the passage from John, where Mary and Martha are expressing all of those questions, is also a passage of hope, because it gives us a glimpse into a life which is more than the transient time that we spend on earth. It's something far more eternal. It gives us that assurance of a life that is still to come, even when we're sad or grieving, when we're happy, and when we're at peace. It gives us the assurance and the hope that there is more to the life that we see on earth, that there is an eternal dimension which God holds in his hands for all of us. Because God, however we understand him and however we see him, has gone on and made preparations for each one of us, as John tells us later on in his gospel. He offers each of us a place in his kingdom, however uncertain we are about what that is, where it might be, and what that might look like. Because it doesn't depend on what we believe. It depends on what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. God gives us that assurance, and we read of it in the gospel in John. The first reading we had for us was from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. And that letter from the Thessalonians is probably one of the earliest pieces of writing we have from the New Testament. And the Thessalonians had lots of questions. And it's very clear that one of the key questions that they had, which Paul addresses in the letter, is what happens when we die? People from the earliest days have been having those questions. What happens when we die? And that was the question that was troubling the Thessalonians. It was a short time after Christ had been on earth. And what happens when we die? And again, Paul just responds to them very simply by speaking of the resurrection. He doesn't make it complicated. He speaks of the resurrection through Christ that God has. And he leaves them, though, with a sense of mystery that we will meet with God in the sky. There is a sense of hope, a sense of assurance, but also a sense of we're not quite sure what that means in hard facts, because it's not there in Scripture to tell us. But it doesn't take away from that hope and assurance which God gives us through the resurrection that we have in Christ. Paul answers the Thessalonians' questions very simply, without questions himself, and tells them and speaks to them of the assurance of the resurrection that we all have. Again, it's not down to what they believe, but what God has done for each one of us in Jesus Christ. We have Christ's comfort and his guidance and his protection, his endless love, no matter who we are or what we might have done or what we feel. He's with us in our sadness and our pain. He's with us when we're not so sad. He is with us. He's with us in our moments of peace, as we look back and remember with gladness those who we remember today. We have a God who loves us unconditionally and into eternity. We remember those now who have gone before us, those who we love. And we remember them because they were important to us. And that's sometimes why we remember them with sadness, because they did mean so much to each one of us. But we also remember them with gladness and with happiness for those times that we spent together, for the richness that they brought to our lives, and the knowledge that our lives are indeed richer because we knew them and encountered them and spent time of our lives with them too. We remember them as important people. We remember them as people that we love. They're also people that God loves. They're important to him too. Perhaps even more so to God than they are to us. And that's why we can remember them with gladness and with hope and with assurance this afternoon. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Sam. And now we come to our service of light, where you'll be invited forward to